This is a replay of Monday Night Trivia, August 10th on WGN Radio. We started at 10. If you don't hear yourself on it, it's because you didn't call, and I hope you're going to rectify that soon. We're live Monday through Thursday evenings from 10 to 1 Central. Dial 888-876-5593. My toll-free number from OneVoip. For the world's best customer service, it's OneVoip. Check them out at the number 1-VOIP.com. You'll be really glad you did.
Direct from the edge of the lunatic fringe, it's the Raleigh James Show.
James, 3 hours to spend together, and it is Monday night, so the time is right for trivia. That's what we'll do. Got plenty of questions, got some bumper stumpers, and of course, when all else fails, you can have your own category, and sky is always the limit on that. So, with that in mind, we have a straggler. We started out at the end of last week, so I promised you if you don't get it tonight, we'll hold it over, but I'm hoping you'll get it tonight. A medical textbook over 100 years ago included mental fermentation on its conditions list. By the way, that's fermentation, F-I-R-M-E-N-T, not getting drunk, obviously. Mental fermentation, F-I-R-M, on its conditions list. But what's interesting is there was one favored cure for this disorder. What was it? Never mind what mental fermentation might be. I haven't a clue. But what was... I guess I could make some uneducated is more like it, guesses. However, we're just looking for the cure, and it's something fairly simple. So that's the question I've thrown out there. Yeah, clear as mud, I'm sure. 11 bumper stumpers of all varieties tonight. But as I say, when you give up, you haven't even heard a bumper stumper yet. You just pick your own category, and sky is always the limit on that. And we are going to kick it off tonight with Barry in New Hampshire. So, Barry, welcome back to WGN Radio.
Hey, Raleigh.
How's it going?
All right. Happy Monday.
Yes, indeed. All right. So, which bread packaging featured red, yellow, and blue circles?
Wonder Bread?
Absolutely right. What is the tagline for Almond Joy and Mounds? All the commercials say it. There's a jingle that sings it. Almond Joy and Mounds.
Incredibly delicious.
No, I'll give you the first word. Sometimes
you feel like a nut, sometimes you don't.
There you go. All right. Which president was nicknamed Dutch?
Dutch.
By the way, alive in your time frame.
Reagan.
Absolutely. You just got to get one more. Here we go. What coffee is good to the last drop?
Maxwell House.
All right, there you go. Excellent. Okay, thanks, Barry. Hang on. Don't go away.
All right.
All right, so prizes are worthless. Takes forever to get them. We hope you don't outlive the... Well, we hope you do outlive the arrival date is what I should say. But when all else fails, you're doing it for the fun of it. Eventually, you do get a certificate, which is fun for every win, and something else you don't want. like an 8-track, yeah, or a 45 RPM, or something else, maybe a comic book. All right, so with that in mind, let us move on, shall we? I believe we're going to do charts. Oh, charts is about my favorite. John is in Chicago. John, welcome to WGN Radio.
Hi, Raleigh. How are you?
All right, so we're going to do charts tonight, huh?
68. We try that.
All righty. 1960. This week in 1968?
Yeah, it would be all right.
All right. You get your choice here. All right, so let's see what we have. 1968 this week. Here it is. Oh, all right. Interesting. Yeah. Oh, it's a terrible summer. Yeah, all right. So let's see what we got here. Number one, Hello, I Love You.
It sounds like The Doors.
Yes. Number two, Classical Gas.
Mason Williams.
Number three, Stone Soul Picnic.
Fifth Dimension.
Yes. Number four, Grazing in the Grass, the instrumental version.
Instrumental.
Yeah, before Friends of Destruction.
You Massagala?
Yes, absolutely right. Number five, People Got to Be Free.
A Rascal.
Yes. Number six, Hurdy-Gurdy Man.
Donovan.
Number seven, Lady Willpower.
Jerry Puckett.
Number eight, Turn Around, Look at Me.
The Bogues?
Yep. Number nine, Sunshine of Your Love. Oh, you can do this. Sunshine of Your Love.
Can I hear that one?
Oh, yeah. It's actually not bad. And it's interesting that the label, it was on Atco, the label puts the in front of their name, though we never think of them that way. All right. So. Yeah. So let's see. All right. Trying to find it here anyway. Wait a minute. I know I can. Huh. Well, I thought I could. I'll keep trying. I guess
That's
I can't.
Fine.
I guess I can't spell is the problem. All right. Well, we know that. Come on. Okay. This should come up now. Absolutely. I just went for the first word. I figured don't try to type too much. All right. Yes, okay. Oh, come on, it's got to be here. Come on. That's interesting, I'm not seeing it, but I know that it's here, so let me try it by the group name. Even easier. Let's see. This is surprising to me, because I know it's on this computer, and I should be able to play this for you. So, maybe not. All right, I could sing it, but that would be too embarrassing for everybody confused. Let's see.
Just do the last one.
Yeah, well, I'm a little concerned why it's not coming up. I'm starting to think there's a drive that's... Oh, okay, here we go. Here we go. Yes, this is the album version on the 45 stations. They edited it somewhat, but here we go, finally. Sunshine of Your Love by Cream.
Cream, okay.
Cream. Although, like I say, on the 45, whoever at Atco was doing the paperwork for the label, it's listed as The Cream. Yeah, I'm sure they were thrilled about that. But anyway, that's all right. You're entitled to three wrong, so we'll move on to number 10, Jumpin' Jack Flash.
The Stones.
All right, 90%. Pretty darn good. You're a winner. Hang on.
Thank you.
Don't go away. All right.
Thank you.
And don't hold your breath. It'll take forever. All right. I keep meaning to do things, but then other things come up. So, like life. Oh, yeah. Hardening file shares. Whatever. All right. So we'll get to Billy Bob and Bourbon A. Jim in Blackwood, New Jersey. Always fun. I believe we're going to do charts with Jim. Billy Bob wants more 5x5. All that and more coming up. A courtesy 5x5 of Lisa and Laura. I just got a condensed version from Lisa. She cleaned up all I haven't asked yet, so I'm ready on WGN Radio.
The things come to those who wait. But don't wait too long. Those who wait. Spanish girl said, no, baby, cause you're not the right one yet. She said, good things come to those who wait. But don't wait too long. Good things come to those who wait. But don't wait too long. Because love is just a merry-go-round. Before you know it, your love will be gone.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. And who is that? That's our first bumper stumper. And what can I tell you? I can tell you 1965 on the Money label. I can also tell you she had a big hit. And you probably can tell me, well, that wasn't it. Yeah, it wasn't. All right. So there you go on your first bumper stumper. And as we move along, we go to Billy Bob in Bourbonnais. So Billy Bob, welcome back to WGN Radio.
Hey, 109th time caller.
All right.
I got a request. Two besides in that 5x5, I know the first one. I know all of those. I wish I could have done that quick.
All right. Well, we'll see how you do. But what's your request?
By the reflectors there, just like Romulus and Remulus. Or,
okay, you're talking about the You're talking about the reflections on Golden World, just like Romeo and Juliet.
Oh, Romeo and Juliet. Oh, I thought it was those two Greek gods and wolves, Remus and Ramos.
Yeah, just like
Romeo
and
Juliet. One.
Okay. Yes, on Golden World. All right, so...
I think it was the early 60s or something.
Yeah, it was the mid-60s. It sure was. It was Ed Wingate's label. Okay, so 5x5, we ready?
Yes.
Who was Betty White's game show husband?
Alan London. London.
Yep, absolutely right.
Or something like that.
What county is Chicago in?
Oh, I know that one. Cook.
Yep. What was Michael Jordan's jersey number on the Bulls?
Oh, my God. Here, I've been living here since 1953. I'm probably wrong, but for some reason, 24 comes to mind.
Oh, he just went off 23. That's all right. Let's see if you get the next one. What is the medical term for a bruise?
Contusion or contusion?
Yes, absolutely right. All right. Well, I believe that you got 4 out of 5 just then. So that's it. I think you did. All right. So hang on. Don't go away. All right. So
have a good evening.
You too. I wasn't exactly counting, but then again, the prizes are worthless. So let's check out Jim in Blackwood. All right, Jim. Welcome back to WGN Radio. How are you tonight?
Hi, Raleigh. Heard some everyday tune. I didn't know there's a difference between the LP and the singles of Cream.
It was just on Sunshine of Your Love, and it's funny because people later, when there were a lot of air checks, always made fun of Roby Young on an air check because he said the Cream. Well, if you looked at the 45 label, that's exactly what it said, the Cream. And after ABCO fixed it.
And whatever label they were on in the UK, I guess it was just Cream?
Yeah, probably. You know, it's just like one of my favorite records was a 39-21-46, the Showman. And you know, I remember talking to General Johnson, and I said, what kind of measurements are those? He said, label copy error. Listen carefully. It says 39-21-40 shape. And it does. But the label copy says 39-21-46.
I know when the Cream formed themselves, I think they kind of called themselves the Cream of a British crop of blues rock stars.
You know more than I do, that's for sure.
Anyway, I want to try July 31st, 1971. That day in rock history was the day of the Bangladesh concert with George Harrison.
Oh, God. What a horrible thing that was. All right. So the July 31st, you said 1971?
Correct, yes.
All right. Number one, You've Got a Friend.
James Taylor.
Number two.
I don't know if I make it further up, but I know that the version by Roberta Hathaway and Donna Hathaway.
Roberta Flack and Donna Hathaway. Yeah, right. Okay. Yeah, okay. Number two, Indian Reservation.
Raiders.
Yes, unfortunately not Don Barton. Number three, It's Too Late.
By Carole King.
Number four, Mr. Big Stuff.
Gene Knight.
Number five, Dragon the Line.
Tommy James. I don't think the Shondells are on that one.
Correct. Number six, How Can You Mend a Broken Heart?
The Bee Gees are one of the big, number one in the U.S., but not released at all in the U.K. for some reason.
Good taste, probably. Number seven, Don't Pull Your Love.
Hamilton, Joe Frank, and Reynolds.
Number eight, Take Me Home, Country Roads.
John Denver and Fat City.
Number nine, Sooner or Later.
The Grassroots.
Yep. Number ten. Medley of What the World Needs Now and Abraham, Martin, and John.
That was L.A. DJ Tom Clay.
Absolutely, and Detroit, too. Bigger in Detroit, actually. But so we'll see how far you get. You got all ten right, so we'll see how many you get, just for extra credit. Number 11, Mercy, Mercy Me.
Ecology is Marvin Gaye.
Number 12, Treat Her Like a Lady.
Cornelius Brothers and Sister Rose.
13, Never Ending Song of Love.
Delaney and Bonnie and Friends.
Number 14, Bring the Boys Home.
Fleet of Pain.
15, Here Comes That Rainy Day Feeling.
The Fortunes.
16, Beginnings, and the flip side was Color My World.
Chicago.
17, I Don't Want to Do Wrong.
That's, is that Gladys Knight?
Yes, it is Gladys Knight. I probably wouldn't have gotten that, but you're absolutely
right. I always have trouble with the R&B acts myself.
You know, I don't normally with R&B, but for some reason, I Don't Want to Do Wrong. I never think about that record. Number 18, Hot Pants.
James Brown.
Number 19, Signs.
The Flying Man Electrical Band.
Number 20, That's the Way I've Always Heard It Should Be.
The first song from oh, just came just in the news too. She's got Parkinson's.
Yes, and had suffered some skin cancer on her face too. You're right.
Get a senior moment here, but
you can do this,
Carly Simon.
Yes, number 21. She's not just another woman.
That's the R&B group.
Well, Howlin' Dozier Howlin' produced it, and it was on Invictus, but I never really thought of them as an R&B group, but they probably are. I don't think you can name
any. A black group, I should say.
Yeah, I don't know if you can name anything else by them. I don't think I can. Well, let me see if I can find it here. I did so well with Sunshine of Your Love. We'll see how I do with this. All right, that was easier. Now, for some reason, here we go.
New Brightness or something like that?
Nope, not even close.
She's not just another woman. She's not, no. She's not just another woman.
All right, so who are they?
Well, I heard it on KHJ.
Yes.
So KRLA, but I'll throw in the towel on this one.
All right, The Eighth Day.
Knew something like...
But you did well enough. You aced the top ten, so hang on, don't go away. All right, so that's the way we do it. 888-876-5593. Got another bumper stumper coming up right after the news right here on Monday Night Trivia on WGN Radio.
Well, it's nine skin. scheming, scheming.
Oh well, oh well, oh well, oh well, it's
WGN Radio, I'm Riley James. So who are those? There's your second bumper stumper, and that was 1959 on Bristol, which is a little Chicago label nobody heard of. They're actually a mixed-race group from Gary, Indiana. So who are they? 888-876-5593. And, of course, the question that I've thrown out there that is getting absolutely no guesses. A medical textbook over 100 years ago included mental fermentation on its condition list. Never mind what that might be. What was interesting is the favored cure. What was it? You could cure mental fermentation. That's F-I-R-M, not F-E-R-M. Nobody's ferminating. With this, what is it? All right. So what can I tell you? We've got bumper stumpers. We've got a question. And, of course, if it's on your mind, it'll be on mine. That's right. Everybody knows something about something, so Monday night is the time for you to strut your stuff. The only thing about Monday nights is that I can't prattle on without you. And some Monday nights, it's just wall-to-wall calls, and other Monday night, it's like this. It's a cavern. So if you if you want a call, that would be great. And that's 888-876-5593. 888-876-5593. Now, with that in mind, I'll just talk about something else waiting for you, and that is, don't forget this week we have a new moon. Yes, if you're writing those prosperity checks. Also, a solar eclipse. And, of course, astrologers are going wild all over the internet about it. It's a solar eclipse in the sign of Leo, and I think it's 20 degrees in Leo. So what that means, if you were born between 1950 and 1954, for instance, that's pretty much conjunct where your Pluto is on your birth chart, because Pluto was between like 19 and 24 degrees during those years, so that'd be close enough for a conjunction. So it would otherwise affect you. And then, of course, what house it's in and all that kind of stuff. But I've seen some say it's a once-in-a-lifetime conjunction or what have you. No, it's not. But the last time I think we saw a solar eclipse with the moon in Leo was probably 2008 in terms of similar astrological meaning to what we have now. Yeah, of course. Yeah, 2008, that wasn't a harbinger of good things, was it, considering September? So who knows? Maybe we'll see. But that's the deal there. And yes, if you want more information, the internet's full of it in more ways than one. So you can have whatever is on your mind about that. So, yeah, my question, which is, I admit it's a tough question since none of us know what mental fermentation might be. I should probably try and look that up. But the cure, we all know what the cure is. It's something common. But they were sure that this cured mental fermentation. What can I tell you? 888-876-5593. This will take us to Marty in Whiting. All right, Marty, what's going on tonight?
Oh, I can't complain. How are you doing, Riley?
All right. So we're going to do the 1971 World Series, huh?
Yes.
All right. And you had some requests, too?
Yeah, just one.
One? All right. What would that be?
I never hear you talk about folk music, so you might not want to even play this, but it's a song by Joni Mitchell. Came out in 1970, and it's called... Shoot, where is it? The Crying Game.
Oh, okay.
Oh, Circle Game. I'm sorry. Circle
yeah,
Game.
You know, Buffy St. Marie wrote that. And it's an interesting song by her, but I will absolutely play it. Yeah. All right. So there you have it. Now we're going to do the World Series, an exciting game. The Pittsburgh Pirates defeated the Baltimore Orioles, and it was 7 games. So that was and it overcame a two to nothing deficit. So that was a big deal. But let's see what we can do about something other than that maybe you will know. What was the final score of the second game?
4-3.
11-3.
I was only eight.
Yeah, 11-3, yeah. And, 2-0 at that point with the Orioles. So yes, indeed. All right, well, there's a lot to talk about that particular series. So next week we'll pick another question if you like.
No problem.
Okay, thanks. Appreciate it. All right, so 888-876-5593 would be 8888-R-O-L-L-Y-E. And we have David in Muskegon. Welcome back to WGN Radio.
Hi there, Raleigh.
How's it going?
I've been sick. I haven't been able to call you.
What was wrong? What's going on?
Oh, man, I got COPD.
Oh, God.
And so I have to take medicine for that.
Well, do you smoke?
Nope. I used to. I quit years ago.
Okay. But it's coming back to haunt you, huh?
Yep. Mm. Yeah, it's coming back to haunt me. So I have to take medicine. I do it. I have to take a decongestant. Okay. I have to use Flonase. Yeah. I have my albuterol, the inhaler. And then there's another pill that I have to take. And I take that. And it seems to help.
Well, good. So you're not yet on the point of supplemental oxygen?
Oh, no.
Okay, good.
I'm not there yet.
Good.
I can't be around any smoke at all.
Well, right, of course. There are things you want to do to make sure the progression is as slow as possible. All right, well, sorry to hear it, but sounds like you're in good hands. So we're going to do August 9th, 1969.
Yeah.
All right, number one in the year, 2525.
Zagrin Evans.
Yes, number two, Crystal Blue Persuasion.
Tommy James and the Shondells.
Number three, Honky Tonk Woman.
The Rolling Stones.
Number four, What Does It Take to Win Your Love?
Junior Walker and the All-Stars.
Number five, Sweet Caroline.
Neil Diamond.
Number six, Ruby, Don't Take Your Love to Town.
That is Kenny Rogers in the First Edition.
Yeah, the song was actually written by Mel Tillis, who didn't sing it, but the first hit was a country hit, Johnny Darrell. All right, number seven, A Boy Named Sue.
Johnny Cash.
Yeah, number eight, My Cherie Amour.
Stevie Wonder.
Number nine, Put a Little Love in Your Heart.
Jackie Chan.
And number ten, Baby, I Love You.
Baby, I Love You, that's Aretha Franklin.
Nope, it's a Canadian.
Wait a minute. Oh, Andy Kim.
Absolutely right. All right, let's see how far you go. You ready?
Yeah.
Number 11, Spinning Wheel.
Blood, Sweat, and Tears.
12, Part 1, Mother Popcorn.
James Brown.
Number 13, Quentin's Theme.
Wait a minute. Is that him?
It's terrible. By the way, it's not. It's terrible. I would probably have lost it on this too, and that was the Charles Randolph Green Singers. Green not spelt the way we otherwise would, I don't think. So yes, I don't know either, but you did very well. All right.
Oh, that's good, Raleigh.
Yeah. Well, hang on. Don't go away. And feel better. All right.
Yeah.
So yeah, deep breaths.
Yeah, because I've been in the hospital and everything.
Oh, yeah.
My tour worker was with me.
Yeah.
And that was really nice of her. And now she's in surgery.
Okay.
The company she works for, they're very nice.
Well, good. I'm glad it's working out.
Promising Love Care.
And did they give you those wonderful devices to enhance your breathing strength?
What kind of device?
Well, you know, the ones with the four balls and things like that.
No.
Oh, well, hopefully you won't get those. Yes, yes. It's weird because on one of them, the strength is how much you can breathe in. Yeah, I gave up on it a long time ago, so glad they're not putting you through that. All right, so good deal. Hang on, don't go away. All right, yeah, I think I've still got them around the house somewhere. And John's had them too. He did well, though, unlike me. All right, so let's see what we have from Eric. And Eric is in the Twin Cities. All right, and I'm at the other studio tonight, as you can tell. The monitors are a little smaller here, so I have to lean over to see what's on the screen. So I'm getting my exercise tonight anyway. So, Eric, welcome back to WGN Radio.
Yeah, hi, Raleigh. Calling from the Twin Tundras.
Yes, how you been? It's been a while.
Yeah, it has. I was I thought, I got to call Raleigh. She's going to be worried sick about me.
Well,
trying to figure out
yeah, I was wondering what you were doing. I figured you just got something better to do.
I wish, but no, what could be better than this show?
Everything. But
come on now. No, here's the thing, Raleigh. Every summer I got my little sports camps tours that I got to do with the soccer deal. So I am all over the country for about 5 weeks there trying to make a little money to get me through the rest of the year. So I just finished up, so I thought, here it is, Monday Night Trivia. I got to get back to Raleigh and let her know, make sure she knows I'm safe and sound and good of health.
Yeah.
Say, listen, I haven't talked to you since the bad news with Walter Perezader, passing away.
Yeah.
I think it's been a few months now, wherever, 6 weeks, something like that. But I was wondering, in his honor and his memory, if you could do a song. It's from the Chicago 7 album. And the name of the song, there's actually two songs back to back. One is called Prelude to Air, and Air is spelt with an E on the end. So okay. A-I-R-E. And there's also the song Air right after it. But it's some of his best work with the flute.
Okay.
And it's absolutely beautiful. They're instrumentals. Both versions. One's a short, the prelude is a short little instrumental prelude to the song Air. So there's Prelude to Air and Air. So either one would be fine.
Okay. All right.
Prelude to Air would fit your timing better, and you can get to the flute part sooner. But he was absolutely brilliant on that instrument. And then the other request is from Robert Lamb's first solo effort, and it was a song called Skinny Boy, which I believe is the name of the album as well. And the Pointer Sisters do backup harmonies on that song, okay. Skinny Boy.
All right.
And that's when they were hanging out at the Caribou Ranch in Colorado early 70s. And they actually made a TV show, one presentation that they filmed at the ranch.
Okay.
That was Jim Gersio's little project there. But they called them the Caribou Kitchenettes, the Pointer Sisters. But they did. You'll hear them so very easily on the and the backup singers on the song Skinny Boy by Robert Lamb.
Okay.
So I appreciate that. I won't take up too much time, but I'll try to get to you later this week as well, or maybe even tomorrow. But I did have a trivia chance Partridge Family.
Okay, and we'll get to that. I'm glad you mentioned Walter. Sadly, he'd been kind of gone a while. He had retired when he announced he had Alzheimer's 4 or 5 years ago, and he was in hospice care in Henderson, Nevada, 81 years old. So rest in peace. Of course, highly recognizable on a lot of things, Color My World, which we talked about earlier, and so many other things. So yeah, all right.
Exactly.
Rest in peace, Walter.
Color My World.
Yeah.
Color My World obviously is really highlights his talent. And that of course, as you well know, that became a lot of people's wedding song in those days. The song they do at weddings. That became a very popular wedding song. I didn't know he was in Nevada.
Yes.
I'm trying to figure out how he ended up in Nevada.
I think he had retired there, and probably after he was diagnosed. He'd been there for a little while. So that was...
have had a place. I didn't realize he had a place or some place to go to in there in Nevada, because that's not where I would... They were kind of based in Southern California there in the valley and Woodland Hills, and they were living around there, but...
Yeah, but... and actually, he was in Henderson, the area. He was in Lake Las Vegas and not far from the Citibank facility there. But he called himself a Lake Las Vegan. But I think part of it is Southern California is difficult now and also very expensive. So it isn't unusual that you see a lot of people who have left.
Yeah, you know, and of all the people, when back in the day, 60s and 70s, when they were just coming in, and I was a much younger man myself, they, you know, you kind of look at people and you kind of project into the future. You think, well, which one of these guys is the most likely to go first?
Oh.
I don't know if you ever projected stuff like that or whatever. Like, you know, just, I don't know how it creeps into your mind, but you think, when this finally comes to an end, like, how is it, who's going to go first and, you know, who will be next and whatever.
Yeah.
I never figured it would be him because he at one time was described as the rock father of the year.
Yeah.
He was a super dad and a good husband and everything, and he got a lot of a good positive write-ups in the media. I remember reading some as a kid about him, you know, about how he rejected all the kind of glamour mm-hmm. lifestyle of the industry and the business, but he was just like a guy that went to work with a, and that came from his parents. I think his parents were just, you know, kind of blue collar types and, but, you know, good work ethic and stuff. And that's how he kind of was as well. You know, he was a guy who showed up and did his thing. But I think a guy named Ray Herman is the guy that filled in, you know, once he stepped back.
Yeah.
I think they brought on a guy named Ray Herman that kind of replaced him. But, you know, I had a chance to meet Walter just briefly in Buffalo, New York at one of the concerts when I was doing work for them. And he was, I mean, he couldn't have been any nicer. I mean, he was just like the most pleasant person you'd ever want to meet.
I think that he and his wife bought a house there, and gosh, it's been 20 years. So they decided to get out of Dodge in California quite a while ago, before he was diagnosed.
So he and his wife, I mean, they were still together until the end.
Like, yes.
I mean, he's still alive. Yeah, that's what I thought.
Yeah, Jacqueline. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
And they, of course, had two daughters. But yeah, so he'd been there about 20 years, and he liked it. He was kind of an ambassador for that area of Las Vegas, Henderson, and Lake Las Vegas. So and he's from Maywood originally, like you say. And yeah, rest in peace. The battle is over. And you just never know. You know, I think we'd all like to be able to predict things, but you just never know. So life turns on a dime. Enjoy each day.
Yeah, I mean, so first it was Terry, then it's Walter.
Yeah.
So now you have Jimmy Pinko and Lee Lochnane. It's basically down to Lee Lochnane and Robert.
We'll see.
Of the original members. I think Pinko still does some touring with them, but I don't think he's a full-time guy with them anymore. I could be wrong, but, okay. I mean, those are the three originals that are left.
All right, so here's your question, because I think we're going to be coming up to the news pretty soon, but you want the Partridge Family, and in one memorable episode, Laurie got braces, but they kept picking up radio signals. At one rehearsal, a rock group's music was playing in her mouth. What group was it? They distracted her and caused her to play piano off-key.
Oh my gosh! I know the episode too because they were doing it. They were trying to film a TV show.
Yeah, Mark Hamill. Mark Hamill played the part of her boyfriend.
Yep. He came in, and even the doctor showed up. The dentist with the house. They were doing it right inside their home, and she said that. That's a good trivia question because I don't know if she said something or Danny said something like they were talking about. She goes, "I can hear music playing." And
And it was one group, one very well known group.
Could be the Rolling Stones.
Absolutely
maybe?
Right.
Oh, is that right?
It is.
Did they mention the name of the song, or did they just?
I don't think so. But I bet you that episode is probably online, and a classic it is. But you are absolutely right. So hang on, Eric, and thanks for calling. Glad you checked in. All right.
Good to hear from you as well.
All right. So 888-876-5593, 8888 Raleigh. We have 2 more hours of Monday Night Trivia, and I think we'll get a bumper stumper in before the news. We'll see. Coming up on WGN Radio.
Just like a juggle, you keep on tossing my heart around like a little ball. Just like a spider, you keep on spinning your web, and I'm trapped by the hurt of it all. You
you think that I would walk right out on you after you stepped on my path? You think that I would stop and take the dirt you give a girl? Don't you think that I tried? To our old line to do. And girl, you want it alone. I saw him holding you like I always do, making himself right at home. Kissing the lips that I thought were my own. But are you ready for this? I gotta go on. Are you ready?
WGN Radio. I'm enjoying that a little too much. We'll tell you more about it. Have another bumper somewhere after the news. And Chuck is going to do charts of 1956. So Monday Night Trivia continues on WGN Radio.
Well, you left me for another boy. And girl, you know you hurt me so bad. And when I called you and begged you to stay, don't call me, I'll call you.
Don't call me on the phone,
baby.
Don't call me on the phone.
Do you remember all the times before that I used to beg you to stay? But you wouldn't leave me.
Don't call me.
After you treated me so bad, or you would come back and say that you were sorry. Oh, so sorry. No, like a fool, I would come back to you. To think it over and make up my mind, but until I do, don't call me, I'll call you.
Don't call me on the phone.
Oh, baby.
Don't call me on the phone.
Now if I came back, everything would be okay. Until you saw that same boy again, and if he smiled,
don't call me,
and look at you, it would start all over again. It would be better. See you around, but until I do, don't call me, I'll call you.
Don't call me on the phone.
Oh, baby.
Don't call me on the phone.
It's all over, darling.
Don't call me.
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. So who are they? Yeah. Actually, I should say, who is he? Former lead singer of something. 1964 on Fontana. In fact, he was the last surviving of the group he was in. All right. Man, I tell you what, having a salad during the news and it just up and attacked me. And on Are You Ready for This, that was 1969 on Smash. And that was a wonderful record that Richie Adams produced and co-wrote, along with allegedly Jerry Ross. Who knows? So who were they? So that's a couple you're working on. But when all else fails, pick your own category. Everybody knows something about something, don't you know? And I believe we're going to 1956 with Chuck in Westmont. Chuck, welcome to WGN Radio.
Hi, Raleigh.
How are you?
I'm good. I went to see a new documentary film tonight. It was at the Tivoli Theater in Downers Grove. It was a documentary film about Dick Biondi.
Oh, wow, that came out? I'm so glad to hear that.
Yeah, I know they had been working on that for a long time.
Literally for years. So I'm thrilled to hear that's out. Good. So
and
how
was
it?
There was a lot of people that it was great. There was a lot of people that showed up for that. And,
sure.
They took some, and Jim Peterick from the Ides of March.
Oh,
and
yes.
Somebody from the Cry and Shame showed up.
Okay.
And, they took some questions from the audience. There was a lot of people there at that, because that theater holds a lot of people. That's one of the old theaters. it's not one of these new theaters. It's an old theater that holds a lot of people.
I'm really pleased to hear this. Now, is it exclusive to that theater, and how long is it running?
I'm not sure, but out in the lobby, they had DVDs for sale of
really?
It. And they had some T-shirts of his, too, so...
Okay. All right. And
it is available on DVD, and I'm guessing it would probably maybe be available on streaming.
Yeah, Amazon Prime. I just looked it up on their website.
Okay.
That's gotcha. Terrific.
Okay.
I know those people.
Yeah.
It took them forever. And what took so long, of course, was raising the money in part and all of that.
Right.
But they kept with it. I wish Dick had lived to see it, but I'm sure he was there in spirit.
Yeah, it was posthumous, but it was good. And the film lasts 66 minutes.
Good. Good. Oh, you can bet I'll buy one of those. I'll certainly contribute to their
effort. For sure.
Absolutely. Thanks
Definitely.
For telling me. I'll do that the minute I get off the air. Excellent.
Okay.
Glad to hear it. So, 1956, a man after my own heart, somebody who remembers the 50s. All right.
Well, I'm gonna try. I mean, I was like 3 years old at the time, but I'm going to take a shot at this because I do like 50s music.
Okay. Well, let's look at, let's see, it'll be August the 11th, which would be tomorrow, of 1956.
Okay.
The number one song, bestseller in stores, don't you know? My Prayer.
The Platters.
Yes. Number two, Hound Dog.
Elvis.
Yep. Number three, Whatever Will Be, Que Sera, Sera.
Doris Day.
Yep. Number four, I Want You, I Need You, I Love You.
Elvis.
Mm-hmm. Number five, White Cover Warning, White Cover Warning, I Almost Lost My Mind.
The Pat Boone version.
Yes, absolutely. Number six, Wayward Wind.
Gogie Grant.
Yep. Number seven, Allegheny Moon.
Penny Page.
Yep. Number eight, Bebop Balula.
Gene Vincent and the Blue Caps.
Absolutely. Number nine, Flying Saucer, Part 1 and 2.
The Buchanan Brothers?
Well, you got Buchanan right, but no, it definitely wasn't Buchanan Brothers. I'll give you half credit for that, but yeah, Dickie Goodman was the other half. Buchanan
Dickie
and Goodman.
Yes, Dickie Goodman.
Okay. And number 10, More. I would not have picked this up easily by this artist. More.
More.
Yeah, but it was on the Vic label, which was an RCA subsidiary, but don't let that confuse you. It was a white guy.
I know this. I know the song.
The flip side was Glendora.
Was this redone later on in the 60s by another artist?
You're talking about Kay Winding and all that. I'm not sure it's the same More.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Because
it wouldn't come to me either. But just pick any pop standard male vocalist you can think of. A big one.
Pop standard.
Yeah, big one.
Frank Sinatra?
Well, that's nice, but not quite that big. But yes, Perry Como.
Perry Como?
Yep, Perry Como.
I said it. Okay.
Well, that's all right. Well, still, you only have to get 70%, so you're absolutely a winner. That's it.
Okay.
Of course, prizes are worthless, but you did better than you thought you would.
Yeah, well, like I said, I was 3 years old then, but I like 50s.
Yeah.
I like anything that's pre-Beatles, so...
I understand completely.
I think they ruined rock and roll.
Well, they
the best years of rock.
They didn't, but one thing that they did do was they made it big business because the Beatles were the first rock and roll group to sell albums. And before that, rock and roll didn't matter. They sold singles. It was a small man's business, and that's why you had the Morris Levy's and George Goldner's of the world. But here were the Beatles. They were selling albums. That put those record labels on the maps. But I don't think the early Beatles stuff actually are just basically dishing us our own R&B and bringing it back to us. Wasn't bad. It was all the other British invasion groups that everybody insisted on signing after the Beatles hit so big. So, in fact,
well, Dick, Dick Biondi played the first Beatles record here on WLS, and that was in middle of 63.
Right.
And it barely made the top 40. It got to like 35, and it was on the chart for a week or so, and then it disappeared after that.
Right. And it was...
That was Please, Please
right.
Me.
Right. Absolutely. It was on VJ, and that was the deal.
Yes, it was on VJ.
Yeah, we've talked a lot about this. VJ didn't think they were signing the Beatles. They actually were signing Frank Ifield, and EMI threw in the Beatles. And so they figured, what the hell, they'd release something. It didn't hit. Now, when EMI took back the contract with Frank Ifield, the Beatles still were nothing. They forgot to include them. And that's what allowed VJ to release that Introducing the Beatles album. And, of course, EMI immediately sued them. But they kept alive because the legal fees were less than the volume of dollars they were getting from selling it. So that's how some of that stuff happened to be on VJ. And then, of course, Remember She Loves You was on Swan. And a couple
I have that.
Yeah, right. And yeah, because they had that 45. And a couple other labels, MGM had a couple things, all of which were buried deep. But when the Beatles hit so big, everybody started combing their archive. Do we have anything by them? And of course, She Loves You was huge. So, yeah.
Right.
Yep.
There used to be a station in Chicago, and they only played anything from 54 up to 63. It was Fire Radio, it was called. It was 103.5.
WFYR.
And it came on in March of 73, and it was all automated oldies.
Yeah, right. I remember
and
well.
I think Dick Bartley did the voiceovers on that, like introducing each song and stuff.
Right.
But
and
that's the station. I love that station because they played anything that was pre-Beatles on there.
Well, and of course it made Dick Bartley because that Saturday night show became huge.
Right.
Biggest oldie show in America. Dick Bartley was great, but he was too enamored with quality. You know, everything had to be, I've got the stereo version. I'm like, I don't care. I want the original 45 and mono. But but he was great, and
that's
it was a whole
the only
country.
Way to listen to him.
Well,
is
that's
mono.
Right. That's absolute. Well, he would disagree
absolutely.
With us, but yes.
Yeah.
And so yeah,
hey,
Fire
that's
was
the
great.
Way we listened to him, right, on AM radio. That's
right.
The way we heard him in mono. So that's the way I remember him.
And that's the way it is. Yes, my oldie station is all mono here, and of course my board, everything you hear on the air here comes out only in mono. So
I still got all my old transistor radios, and that's what I'm listening to you right now is an old transistor radio.
Terrific.
I got it tuned into your radio station here.
Well, we're glad to have you. All right. Well, you are a winner. It takes forever to get
Raleigh.
Anything. Don't go away, though. Hang on. All right. Absolutely worthless, but eventually you get something. So a little certificate and something else you don't want. So 888-876-5593. We're going to do 1974 lyrics with Dave. I've already got the song picked out. And, oh, yes, Andy in Los Angeles, don't you know, it's going to be more New York radio of the 60s coming up on WGN Radio.
Well, you left me for another boy, and girl, you know you hurt me so bad, and when I called you and begged you to stay, you pretend that you got he's left you. Yes, he's gone. Oh, you want me to come back to you? I've got to think it over and make up my mind. But until I do, don't call me. I'll call you.
Don't call me on the phone.
Oh, baby.
Don't call me on the phone.
Do you remember all the times before that I used to beg you to stay? But you would leave. Treated me so bad, or you would come back and say that you were sorry, oh so sorry. And oh, like a boo, I would come back to you. This time I've got to think it over and make up my mind. But until I do, don't call me, I'll call you.
Don't call me on the phone.
Oh, baby.
Don't call me on the phone.
Now if I came back, everything would be okay until you saw that same boy again. And if he smiled and looked at you, it would start all over again. It would be better for you and I. Oh, if I just said that to you. Now that I have thought it over, I'll see you around. But until I do,
Don't call me, I'll call you.
Don't call me on the phone.
Oh, baby.
Don't call me on the phone.
It's all over, darling.
Don't call me.
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. So who are they? Yeah. Actually, I should say, who is he? Former lead singer of something. 1964 on Fontana. In fact, he was the last surviving of the group he was in. All right. Man, I tell you what. Having a salad during the news, and it just up and attacked me. And on Are You Ready for This? That was 1969 on Smash. And that was a wonderful record that Richie Adams produced and co-wrote, along with allegedly Jerry Ross. Who knows? So, who were they? So that's a couple you're working on. But when all else fails, pick your own category. Everybody knows something about something, don't you know? And I believe we're going to 1956 with Chuck in Westmont. Chuck, welcome to WGN Radio.
Hi, Raleigh.
How are you?
I'm good. I went to see a new documentary film.
Yeah.
Tonight. It was at the Tivoli Theater in Downers Grove. It was a documentary film about Dick Biondi.
Oh, wow. That came out? I'm so glad to hear that.
Yeah, I know they had been working on that for a long time.
Literally for years. So I'm thrilled to hear that's out. Good. So
and
how was it?
There was a lot of people that it was great. There was a lot of people that showed up for that. And,
sure.
They took some... And Jim Peterick from the Ides of March.
Oh,
and
yes.
Somebody from the Cry and Shame showed up.
Okay.
And, they took some questions from the audience. There was a lot of people there at that, because that theater holds a lot of people. That's one of the old theaters. It's not one of these new theaters. It's an old theater that holds a lot of people.
I'm really pleased to hear this. Now, is it exclusive to that theater, and how long is it running?
I'm not sure, but out in the lobby, they had DVDs for sale of
really?
It. And they had some T-shirts of his too. So
okay, all right. And
it is available on DVD, and I'm guessing it would probably maybe be available on streaming.
Yeah, Amazon Prime. I just looked it up on their website.
Okay.
That's
gotcha.
Terrific.
Okay.
I know those people.
Yeah.
It took them forever, and what took so long, of course, was raising the money in part and all of that.
Right.
But they kept with it. I wish Dick had lived to see it, but I'm sure he was there in spirit.
Yeah, it was posthumous, but it was good. And the film lasts 66 minutes.
Good, good. Oh, you can bet I'll buy one of those. I'll certainly contribute to their
for effort. Sure.
Absolutely. Thanks
Definitely.
For telling me. I'll do that the minute I get off the air. Excellent.
Okay.
Glad to hear it. So, 1956, a man after my own heart, somebody who remembers the 50s. All right.
Well, I'm gonna try. I mean, I was like 3 years old at the time, but I'm gonna take a shot at this because I do like 50s music.
Okay. Well, let's look at. Let's see. It'll be August the 11th, which would be tomorrow of 1956.
Okay.
The number one song, bestseller in stores, don't you know? My Prayer.
The Platters.
Yes. Number two, Hound Dog.
Elvis.
Yep. Number three, Whatever Will Be, Que Sera, Sera.
Doris Day.
Yep. Number four, I Want You, I Need You, I Love You.
Elvis.
Mm-hmm. Number five, White Cover Warning, White Cover Warning, I Almost Lost My Mind.
The Pat Boone version.
Yes, absolutely. Number six, Wayward Wind.
Gogie Grant.
Yep. Number seven, Allegheny Moon.
Penny Page.
Yep. Number eight, Bebop Balula.
Gene Vincent and the Blue Caps.
Absolutely. Number nine, Flying Saucer, Part 1 and 2.
The Buchanan Brothers?
Well, you got Buchanan right, but no, it definitely wasn't Buchanan Brothers. I'll give you half credit for that, but yeah, Dickie Goodman was the other half. Buchanan
Dickie
and Goodman.
Yes, Dickie Goodman.
Okay. And number 10, More. I would not have picked this up easily by this artist. More.
More.
Yeah, but it was on the Vic label, which was an RCA subsidiary, but don't let that confuse you. It was a white guy.
I know this. I know the song.
The flip side was Glendora.
Was this redone later on in the 60s by another artist?
You're talking about Kay Winding and all that? I'm not sure it's the same Moore.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Because
it wouldn't come to me either. But just pick any pop standard male vocalist you can think of. A big one.
Pop standard.
Yeah, big one.
Frank Sinatra?
Well, that's nice, but not quite that big. But yes, Perry Como.
Perry Como?
Yep, Perry Como.
This, I said it. Okay.
Well, that's all right. Well, still, you only have to get 70%, so you're absolutely a winner. That's it. Of course, prize are worthless, but you did better than you thought you would.
Yeah, well, like I said, I was 3 years old then, but I like 50s.
Yeah.
I like anything that's pre-Beatles, so.
I understand completely.
I think they ruined rock and roll.
Well, they
the best years of rock.
They didn't, but one thing that they did do was they made it big business, because the Beatles were the first rock and roll group to sell albums. And before that, rock and roll didn't matter. They sold singles. It was a small man's business, and that's why you had the Morris Levy's and George Goldner's of the world. But here were the Beatles. They were selling albums. That put those record labels on the maps. But I don't think the early Beatles stuff actually are just basically dishing us our own R&B and bringing it back to us. Wasn't bad. It was all the other British invasion groups that everybody insisted on signing after the Beatles hit so big. So, in fact,
well, Dick Biondi played the first Beatles record here on WLS, and that was in middle of 63.
Right.
And it barely made the top 40. It got to like 35, and it was on the chart for a week or so, and then it disappeared after that.
Right, and it was...
That was Please, Please Me.
Right, absolutely. It was on VJ, and that was the deal.
Yes, it was on VJ.
Yeah, we've talked a lot about this. VJ didn't think they were signing the Beatles. They actually were signing Frank Ifield, and EMI threw in the Beatles, and so they figured what the hell, they'd release something. It didn't hit. Now, when EMI took back the contract with Frank Ifield, the Beatles still were nothing. They forgot to include them. And that's what allowed VJ to release that Introducing the Beatles album. And of course, EMI immediately sued them. But they kept alive because the legal fees were less than the volume of dollars they were getting from selling it. So that's how some of that stuff happened to be on VJ. And then, of course, Remember She Loves You was on Swan. And a couple.
I have that.
Yeah, right. And because they had that 45, and a couple other labels. MGM had a couple things, all of which were buried deep. But when the Beatles hit so big, everybody started combing their archive. Do we have anything by them? And of course, She Loves You was huge. So
Right.
Yep.
We used to. There used to be a station in Chicago, and they only played anything from 54 up to 63. It was Fire Radio. It was called. It was 103.5
WFYR.
And it came on in March of 73, and it was all automated oldies.
Yeah, right. I remember.
I think Dick Bartley did the voiceovers on that, like introducing each song and stuff.
Right,
but that's the station. I love that station because they played anything that was pre-Beatles on there.
Well, and of course it made Dick Bartley, because that Saturday night show became huge.
Right.
Biggest oldie show in America. Dick Bartley was great, but he was too enamored with quality. You know, everything had to be, I've got the stereo version. I'm like, I don't care. I want the original 45 and mono. But but he was great, and it was a whole
thing. That's the only way to listen to him.
Well, that's right. That's absolute. Well, he would disagree with us, but yes.
Yeah.
And Fire was
the way we listened to him, right? On AM radio. That's
right.
The way we heard him in mono. So that's the way I remember him.
And that's the way it is. Yes, my oldie station is all mono here, and of course my board, everything you hear on the air here comes out only in mono. So,
I still got all my old transistor radios, and that's what I'm listening to onto you right now, is an old transistor radio.
Terrific.
I got it tuned into your radio station here.
Well, we're glad to have you. All right. Well, you are a winner. It takes forever to get
Raleigh.
Anything. Don't go away, though. Hang on. All right. Absolutely worthless, but eventually you get something. So a little certificate and something else you don't want. 888-876-5593. We're going to do 1974 lyrics with Dave. I've already got the song picked out. And, oh, yes, Andy in Los Angeles. Don't you know it's going to be more New York radio of the 60s coming up on WGN Radio.
Do-do-do-do. cha-cha-cha. Chooby-chooby-bop-bop. Chooby-chooby-cha-cha-cha.
Boom-boom-boom-boom-bop-bop-bop.
Your love goes around. Yes, it goes up and down. Oh, baby, can't you see?
James, well, they're from Jamaica in Queens, not the island. And yeah, this is they did have one other song that actually was very big as an oldie, but never big as a hit. And so this was the follow up to it. And if I give you the label, well, you should, if you're a real fan, you'll know it was on Casino in 1959. All right, so 888-876-5593. Dave is on the north side and he wants 1974 lyrics. So hello, Dave.
Hello.
All right. So 1974, you ready?
Yeah.
Okay. I'll give you several of them. And here we go. What's the matter with you? Feel right? Don't you feel right, baby? Hey, oh yeah. Get it from the main vine, all right. I said, find it, find it. Go on and love it if you like. It's your business. If you want some, take some. Get it together, baby.
Sounds like something I should know, but I'm not...
Oh, yeah, you know this song, all right. Yeah. What's the matter with your head? Yeah. What's the matter with your mind? And your sign, and oh, nothing the matter with your head, baby. Find it. Come on and find it. With it, baby. Because you're fine, and you're mine, and you look so divine. Hey, hey.
It sounds familiar.
All right.
I wish you could play it, because your singing doesn't help.
Well, I'm not singing it, I'm saying it, but here it is.
What's
the matter with your head?
Yeah. See, I did say the right lyrics. All right. Give up?
I give up. I know a song, but I can't think of it.
Oh, yeah. Pat and Ollie Vegas, Redbone, Come and Get Your Love. Yeah, Redbone.
Can I do a Flintstones question by any chance? Or should I call back?
Yeah, call back. Okay, bye. All right. So let's see what else we're doing here. There was something. I just know. All right. I know. I do know, actually. We're going to move to New York Radio right now. And this was the question I was going to ask last week, but Andy aced the question we gave out. So, are you ready, Andy?
As ready as I'm going to be.
All right. Late 60s. What station referred to itself as New York's medium with a message? Hello, operator. Are you there, Andy?
Yeah, I'm here. I'm thinking. Yeah. I've heard it.
Oh, of course you have. New York's medium with a message. In fact, it's on that wonderful composite Pete Fornatel put together of all the stations years ago.
I don't know. I just guess. The message. I would just guess MCA.
No, it was WABC-FM while they had the love format.
Was it?
Yes, it was.
Okay.
Before they were PLJ. Yeah.
Right.
And they were using that, and also New York Heavy, and Love, which actually stood for something. Do you know what it was? Love?
I don't remember. I read it somewhere, but I don't remember what it was.
Live on air versatile entertainment.
Okay, that's why I didn't remember it.
Yeah, right. Who would? And they used to have all those vignettes by Brother John and all that.
Yeah.
So yes, they wanted to be more.
It was interesting to hear.
What?
On ABC FM, it was interesting to hear the DJs who went over. Their personalities sort of changed.
Oh yeah.
Like Bob Lewis became progressive rock and slowly talking, and Dan Ingram played jazz. It was very interesting.
Yeah. I'll tell you who I thought was absolutely the most versatile because he had credibility no matter what format he did, and that was Scott Muni.
Yeah.
You know, he really did. He just nailed it on EWFM and, you know, all the way back to his New Orleans days. He was just good. All right. Well, I can't believe I stumped you. This is a historic moment.
Well, this is, I know, I have to live this down.
Oh, yeah.
I will give you a call next week.
I'll look forward to it. Thanks. Appreciate it. All right.
Thank you.
So there you have that. You know, we've got more bumper stumpers coming up. And, we're going to get a radio from Gary in Austin. All right. So I think I had a question for him, but I think I asked it already. So I'll come up with another one. And, other than that, lines are absolutely open on this Monday Night Trivia. So I know usually you can't get in. I don't know what does it. John and I have talked about this so often. I don't know what causes some nights to be absolutely swarmed and other nights to be wide open. But I think part of the problem tonight might be completely my fault. I have not gotten one guess on the cure for mental fermentation because that's so out there. But it was in a medical textbook, and I'm going to give you the answer and give you another question because clearly there's no interest in this one. Yes, a medical textbook over 100 years ago listed mental fermentation, that's F-I-R-M-E-N-T-A-T-I-O-N, as a disease, a disorder, with only one favorite cure, bicycle riding. I have no idea what was on their mind, but we'll have another question right after the news right here on WGN Radio. And bumper stumpers. That was on MGM in 1966. So there. All right, so we need another question since clearly you weren't interested in my medical question. Who could blame you? So let's do something easier. And I know you like cars. So the basis for this car, which debuted, by the way, around 1980, was a prior model, but one that was so bad it was almost a joke. Now, this edition was supposed to be an innovation, but it was stripped of any technical advantage. It had excessive weight, an inefficient six-cylinder engine, and a clunky three-speed automatic gear shift licensed from another manufacturer. Not to mention it was considered by many to be ugly. Well, beauty is in the eye of the beholder, but there's little argument that its odd-sized doors and chunky protective moldings added to its unattractiveness. What was it? 888 866-5593. All right, so now you've got a question, and we're going to do radio with Gary here in a moment. We're going to do Star Trek with Mark. Yeah, John will ask that question because you know he's better at that than me, to say the least. Don and Beloit, Battle of Britain, I've already picked it out. And Kim is in Brookfield, who wants MASH trivia. All right, I think that's what it says, but we'll find out. So Gary is in Austin. Welcome to WGN Radio. How are you, Gary?
Well, hey, Riley, how are you doing tonight?
I can't complain. So
yeah, I can't either.
Yeah.
If I did, people would walk away. So
well, exactly, and all I'd be bitching about is Windows 11 hardening file share. So hey. You know, no one gives a damn. Absolutely, no one gives a damn.
I care, but that's okay.
Oh, well, thank you. I do appreciate that. Yeah. Well, a lot of this stuff turns out to be hidden in deep folder menu. Well, I don't want to go.
Yeah, right.
All right, so
right.
Anyway, moving right along, I understand that we are going to do radio. It was a soul radio station. It had jingles. Their jingles actually proclaimed where the soul is and the 24-hour excitement of heavy soul. And it's out of sight. It's what?
Ooh. Oh.
And I'll give you a hint. Don't think major market.
Oh, okay. That makes it even more interesting.
You know this market, though. I know you do.
It's not New Orleans, I don't think. I don't know.
Kalo, K-A-L-O, in Little Rock, the big 1250
Rock,
AM.
Yeah.
And I know you'd know that station.
I heard it when I was there. I don't think they had jingles when I was there. I liked Cokie better.
Well, yes. All right. Well, I can't believe I stumped you. So this is a red letter day. It won't happen again, I'm sure.
Oh, I mean, well, you know, it happens every now and then.
Yeah.
You know, it's all good.
All right.
Yeah,
we'll talk to you soon. Thanks.
Okay.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
Appreciate it. Yes, now. Yeah, Kalo, 1250 AM. 888-876-5593. 888-88. Raleigh, Mark is in Aurora. Welcome back to WGN Radio. Mark.
Good almost morning.
Yes, there it is. All right.
Now John has stopped me before, so I'm waiting to see.
I don't think he will this time.
I don't think he will.
He was very generous on this question. I think you're going to know it.
Oh.
I'd be surprised if you don't. You'll hang your head in shame, but I know you'll know it. You ready? Lieutenant Sulu. Yeah, Lieutenant Sulu, played by George Takei, had three jobs.
Yeah.
What were they?
Three jobs. Oh, yeah. Lieutenant Sulu, George Takei. He was navigator.
Mm-hmm.
He was...
Yeah, navigator is one. You got two more to go.
Yeah, I know. Gosh, and you're right. I should know.
Yeah.
Officer?
I'm sorry, I missed that.
Fill-in communications officer?
Nope.
Okay. Transporter operator?
Nope.
Because, I mean, he did all of those things.
I guess it wasn't his official task. These three are. And navigator, you're right, was one.
Yeah.
Another one is he was an officer of some type.
Okay. Lieutenant.
Well, yeah, I understand. No, I mean in terms of what it was. Like you said, communications officer, and it's not communication. So that's what we're after, what it would be.
No, it's not communications. Oh, boy. Oh, yeah, this is proving to be more challenging than I thought.
Wow, I'm stunned.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, if I just run through the episodes in my mind, I should be able to figure it out.
Okay, we'll wait.
No. I don't think you want to do that.
Yeah. No, because actually, we've got all full calls now. I don't know why this happens. Last hour, nada. You could run a bowling ball through this place. Today, this hour, every line lit up, so I don't get it. But I'm delighted.
Yeah, but... I'm remembering Captain Kirk calling him Navigator.
Right. Giving up?
Yeah, I guess so.
He was also a weapons officer and a helmsman.
Okay, I thought helmsman was part of Navigator, but you're... Yeah, now that you mention it, weapons officer does fit.
Yep.
Okay.
All right. Well, there you have it. Thanks for.
I went down this time.
That's hard to believe, but I'm sure you'll redeem yourself next week, and I'm sure John will come up with another question because God knows I can barely understand the words. All right. Thanks.
If John comes up with it, I won't redeem myself.
Well, I don't know. Yeah, try to be kind on this one. Maybe I'll tell him not to be kind on the next one.
Yeah. Okay.
All right, thanks.
Alrighty.
Appreciate
it. Good night, everybody.
All right, indeed. 888-876-5593. So we say goodbye to Mark and leave a line open for him. And then we get to Don and Beloit. All right, Don, welcome back to WGN Radio.
Hey, Raleigh. How are you?
Well, I'm here. I'm glad to hear from you. I'm glad to hear from anybody. Yeah.
Well, I had an excuse. I was playing hockey, and they got the rink back going okay in Love's Park. It was a bad motor on the compressor.
Ah, okay.
Wasn't going roundy rounds.
But it is now, so that's good.
Yeah, it uses, just like your refrigerators in the old days, it uses ammonia. I was just trying to say ammonia. Yeah.
Okay.
Make the refrigeration happen. Now we're all happy again.
Okay.
Well, what about the Nova?
No.
The cat had that goofball Cadillac Seville?
No.
The Mustang?
Nope. That didn't debut around 1980. You know that.
Well, I mean, like you said, it was like a remake of a...
No, it was based on a prior model.
Okay.
But one that was so bad it was almost a joke.
Okay, based on a prior model could mean like the Mustang 2, you know.
Well, it could, but it doesn't. Don't go there.
Okay, I'm not going to go there. Okay. Sierra. The Fiero.
No.
I think that's too early.
I thought that was a cute little car. No.
It was heavy. But I think it was a 86. I think that came out in 84, 86 maybe. You know, I'm going to guess it's a GM, but I don't know. I don't know these things.
Okay. Well, we don't narrow it down that much.
Okay.
Because there's only a few car manufacturers when you get right down to it. So, no, we're not doing that.
Yeah. I wasn't sure if you played all my songs or you've been doing... I haven't really been paying attention to that, sorry. But I know you played a few.
Yeah.
Could you... I got Don's three-song list.
Okay, let's see what I have done on you. Well, we played Honky Tonk Girl, of course. On Zero.
Yeah.
And we played I'd Rather Go Blind, Etta James.
Excellent.
And we have not played What Kind of Man Are You?
Oh, that's a good one. Wow, that's so good.
All right.
How about, do you like Hazel Scott? Like, I was, anything by her, but I dude it 1943.
All right, Hazel Scott. All right, anything by Hazel Scott. All right, that gives me a wide latitude.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. How about See You Later, Alligator, Bill Haley in the Comets?
How about the original?
Oh.
Uh-huh.
Sorry.
Yeah.
I just heard that on the radio. That's why I was, like, thinking about that. Sorry.
Yeah, well...
I'll take it.
Okay. Yeah.
All right.
Absolutely. So we will play the original, and that, by the way, was Bobby Charles.
I didn't know that. I got to look that up. Did not know that. Thank you.
Yeah.
Well, can you think of some kind of World War II, Battle of Britain.
Well, I did actually. Yeah. Let me find it here. It seems to have gone away here all of a sudden, but I know. Oh, here we are. Okay. All right. So we're talking about Battle of Britain because that's your interest. And one pilot regularly broke formation to fight his own private war. He was almost a solo freelancer above the clouds. He had a nickname. What was it?
Cat? Is that Cat Eyes?
Nope.
Cunningham?
Nope.
Oh, that was one of the more famous ones. Oh, he later lost his legs.
This guy's famous, and remember that Battle of Britain, pilots from countries all over the globe pretty much were involved.
Sure.
So got to be thinking broadly on this. But yeah, he was absolutely known as the loner ace.
I'm sorry, I don't know who that could. It could be, of course, many people, but
well, one in particular, a Polish pilot. Joseph.
Wow.
Yeah, and his last name is always a problem, don't you know? Joseph Frantisek, flying with the 303 Squadron, racked up 17 kills.
Again.
And he regularly broke formation to fight his own private war.
Well, the British were so clever using peoples from conquered nations, you know, to because they needed help. They needed pilots, and they needed people that wanted revenge. And a lot of these folks...
Yeah,
Czech, Polish, they saw their own brethren get murdered. You know, that gives you a lot of impetus, Raleigh.
There you are.
There you go.
All right.
Listen, thank you so much for your help. That's a lot of fun, and I'll be listening to you all week.
Okay, good. Thanks. Appreciate it. All right, well, I think we need another bumper, and I see that Stan is on the line, so I think I'm going to move one up that I was going to play next hour, because the next one he'd never know, or shouldn't anyway, so I'll move one up that I'm pretty sure he will know, and maybe you will too, coming up on WGN Radio.
You got it.
So who are they? 1965 on Old Town. Yeah. For Doo-Wop fans, that should be a gift. All right. So now, I was going to say we get to Stan, but however, Blindo wants to identify a bumper, so we'll check out what he might know. So, Blindo, welcome back to WGN Radio. What do you think?
Good day. I was going to guess a 1965 woman and say maybe her name was Jackie Moore.
No.
No,
that's nice. That wasn't Jackie Moore. This is on the money label, so it couldn't have been Jackie Moore. But this woman did have a big hit.
No money for me today. I'm glad that you said that she was a woman, because originally I thought she was Wilson Pickett on Helium or something like that, but for the first time.
Oh, yes, well, no, absolutely not.
Okay, well, thanks a whole lot.
All right, thanks for calling. Appreciate it.
All right. Have a nice day.
So there you have it. All right, now. Before we knock off some bumpers, because we'll play another one that Stan's going to know coming up. But I believe that we've got a couple of takers on MASH trivia. All right, the first one will be Kim, and Kim is in Wisconsin. So, Kim, welcome back to WGN Radio.
Hey, Raleigh, how you doing?
All right, how about yourself?
Good, thank you.
Okay, so we've got an episode, Requiem for a Lightweight. on MASH, and Trapper had on the back of his boxing robe a name that he was boxing under. What was it?
Kid Doctor.
Absolutely right. He was Kid Doctor. You are a winner.
All right.
Now, of course, the prizes are worthless and all that. You know the deal. But you did it for the fun of it. But hang on. Eventually, you get something if you live long enough. Don't go away. All right. So 888-876-5593. God, I just mailed somebody bumper stickers who wrote a few years ago. So I hope he's still alive. All right. Yeah, it takes me a while is what it does. But that said, now our next MASH taker was Shane, who is driving. I'm going along for the ride. I've been to Milwaukee, or I'm getting there. Am I there or leaving?
We're leaving.
Where are we headed?
We're heading to our terminal on Crest Hill.
Okay, I'll take it. All right, so while we are doing that, and we are driving along thinking about MASH, we mentioned that Trapper was Kid Doctor, but why did Trapper enter the boxing tournament in the first place?
Because there was a nurse that was being transferred, and if he won, she got to stay.
You're a winner. All right. Excellent. Hang on. Don't go away. All right.
Thanks, Raleigh.
Really good. All right. So, yeah, the things we remember. The things you guys remember, that's what. So that's absolutely, absolutely true. Now, let's see what we're going to do here. I believe that Dave wants Flintstones trivia. Oh, brother. All right. So let's see what we can do with Dave. So, all right. I got to find a question for you, Dave. Could take a moment.
Can I make a request?
Yeah. Let me get out that piece of paper. All right. Dave's request. What is it?
Let's see. Glenn Miller. Or was this a band called the Riverneers?
All right. What's the song?
Boogie Woogie Piggy.
Okay. All right.
And then this next one, I think it's either Ike Turner or...
what is it?
Ugly Girl.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Ike Turner or Joe, I can't think of his name.
Yeah.
Camille or something like that? Yeah. Oh.
Yeah. Good luck. I'm trying to think of what you're talking about, and nothing comes.
Johnny O'Neill?
Yeah, there's something. You're talking about something that's really old, right? Because there was something like Fleming and John,
yeah.
But that's like 1999. All right, so I will look for it and see what we can come up with. Now, I should get back to looking for the Flintstones question. Okay, let's see what comes up.
You gotta get this one right.
Yeah, well, you usually do pretty well on these.
Yeah, better than others.
All right. What was Fred and Wilma's address?
Wasn't like 123?
Nope.
No. 723?
Nope.
713 or something.
No. Nope. And we're also wanting to know the street, not just the number.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of the street. You got me twice today. I don't know.
301 Cobblestone Way. It was there. The Rubbles live next door at 303 Cobblestone Way. Yes, indeed.
Okay.
All right. Talk to you next week. Okay, bye.
All right,
so 888-876-5593. Yes, there is another bumper snumper coming up after the news, and then we'll get Stan to identify them all, and he will. All right, so we have a question out there, a car question, because I know you love your car questions, and that would be, the basis for this car, which debuted around 1980, was a prior model, but one that was so bad it was almost a joke. This edition was supposed to be an innovation. but it was stripped of any technical advantage, with excessive weight, an inefficient six-cylinder engine, and a clunky three-speed automatic gear shift licensed from another manufacturer, not to mention that it was considered by many to be ugly. Yes, beauty is in the eye of the beholder, but there's little argument that its odd-sized doors and chunky protective moldings added to its unattractiveness quotient. What was it? 888-876-5593. Another hour of Monday Night Trivia coming up after the news on WGN Radio. WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. I wasn't expecting you to hearing it all. It's a long story, but I'm glad to be here for another hour. And glad to talk to you, too. And every line in the place is lit, so without further ado, oh, I should give the question first, in case a line does become available. You might be interested. The basis for this car, which debuted around 1980, was a prior model, but one that was so bad it was almost a joke. This edition was supposed to be an innovation, but it was stripped of any technical advantage, with excessive weight, an inefficient six-cylinder engine, and a clunky three-speed automatic gear shift licensed from another manufacturer, not to mention it was considered by many to be ugly. Beauty in the eye of the beholder, of course, but there's little argument that its odd-sized doors and chunky protective moldings added to its unattractiveness quotient. What was it? All right, so there's your car question. Now, as far as our bumpers, we've got Stan and Dearborn. So welcome back to WGN Radio, Stan.
Hi, Raleigh.
So you know them all, right?
Well, I know the last four and the first two.
Okay.
Well, you're really on a roll tonight.
All right.
The last one, The Voodoo Man by the Del Vikings. We used to play that every Halloween.
It's a wonderful song.
Yeah.
All right. 1958 on Mercury. All right. And the one before that?
Think Smart by the Fiestas.
Yes.
My wife likes that one a lot.
Yeah. Okay, what else?
And in front of that, a song I just played today, Going, Going, Gone by the Broadways.
Yes.
On MGM. I just played that a couple times today.
It's a great song. It's a woulda, yeah. Coulda, shoulda, for sure.
Yeah, it was. And Shooby Dooby Cha Cha Cha?
Yep.
Or two cha chas, I guess.
Yeah.
The videos.
Absolutely. 1959 on Casino.
Yeah. And then one that. A fine song that you played, Scheming by the Senators.
Yes.
Off the Bristol label. And I thought, out of Gary, Indiana.
Yeah.
I thought, and the Bristol label in Chicago, I thought that was from Detroit. I didn't know for sure because we had a DJ and a kind of a record. He was in a business, Bristol Bryant.
Okay.
He said, call him Senator Bristol Bryant.
All right.
And when I got this record, you know, and I got... Well, I got a couple copies of it. It says Bristol Recording Company.
Right.
There's nothing on it about Chicago or Detroit or anything. And it's the Senators.
Right.
And they used to call them Senator Bristol Bryant.
Right.
And I thought that was Detroit all the time.
Well,
But I'm glad.
I heard it. I heard it was Chicago, and I got my information years ago from discos, so can't be 100% sure. But there were also some that said Bristol Recording Company that were Boots, but the original one was an orange label. And you're right; it doesn't give you much information at all.
Yeah. Yeah, I've got the orange label myself.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, as far as the Senators, I think it's always funny because the title's so perfect for the Senators, don't you think? Scheming, you know, it just it just sounds political.
Yeah.
So
it does.
Yeah. So, but in terms of what happened to them, I don't know. They were interesting because, as I was saying, they were a mixed race group. There were, you know, five of them that I remember. And you know, if you can name another record by the Senators, you're doing better than me.
Puppet on a String, I think it's called.
Really?
And I don't know if it's them or not.
I don't know. The flip side was Tofu, which wasn't worth hearing. But Puppet on a String by the Senators, you think it's the same Senators?
I don't know if it's the same Senators or not. It's on a yellow label. No, white and yellow and white label.
Okay.
I should have pulled that. I should have pulled that out when I pulled this.
Is that Poor Little Puppet?
Poor Little Puppet, that's it.
Yeah, I don't think those are the same same guys.
I didn't think so either, but...
No. The flip side of that was Loretta. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And, yeah, I thought they were different Senators. But I think there's something like a dozen different Senator groups. So there's a lot, for whatever reason, and it was 1959 as well, so the year would fit. I don't know where the Poor Little Puppet Senators were from.
Yeah, I don't either.
Hmm. And that's a medley of their hit, too, or their lack of hit.
Yeah. And the first song, I mean, Fran should get that first song.
Yeah.
It's kind of her style and her person.
Maybe she's napping, you know, because sleep is sacred.
Yeah, that's true. Now, I heard Gary was on, and I was going to tell you, or tell him as well, that we had a guest on our show, and he was from Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
Originally, he went to school with, he went to college with a friend of mine that I went to high school with.
Okay.
And he's a collector from Pittsburgh. But he moved to Dallas. His work took him to Dallas, and he had a radio show in Dallas. And this was about in the mid-'80s.
Okay.
And it was an oldie show that he had. I think he had once a week. I don't know what day he was on, and I don't know what station it was. But he used to call himself the Platter-Pushing Papa. He kind of copied that off of Sophie Chadwick. Yeah. So he called himself the Platter-Pushing Papa Jr.
Junior, okay, I like that. Junior, okay.
Yeah, so he was out in the 80s in Dallas, mid-'80s, and I don't know what station, but I know Gary listened to a lot of Dallas stations. You might recall him.
Yeah, that's interesting. I don't know that I've ever heard him. Okay, so our Poor Little Puppet Senators were from New York.
Okay.
So now we know that.
That makes sense.
Yeah, but that's all.
Poor Little Puppet, yeah.
Yes, right.
I don't know where they get Puppet on a String. I don't know where I got that from.
I don't know.
Yes, another record.
And, of course, it was on Golden Crest. So,
Golden Crest. Yeah. Yeah, yellow and white, yeah.
Right, exactly. And Golden Crest had an interesting history all the way around. So I think his daughter wrote it up one time, I read years ago, and promptly forgot most of it. So yeah. All right. Well, and
okay.
So the first one that Fran would know is...
Don't wait too long by on Money in 1965.
Uh-huh.
She had a big hit followed up about 2 years later.
Uh-huh.
Betty Swan.
Absolutely, Betty Swan.
Yeah.
All right. So you didn't get Are You Ready for This? Oh, I thought you would have gotten that.
Are You Ready for This? That sounded like somebody. That sounded like somebody I know.
Yes, it does. Jay and the Techniques.
Oh, okay. I must have been out of the country then.
Now,
what year was that?
Okay, it was 69.
Yeah, I was out of the country.
Okay, Don't Call Me from 1964, and I gave you a clue. He was the last surviving member, original member of this group, but this he did as a solo on Fontana in 1964.
Well, I can't make a call on it.
All right, well, here you go. Bill Pinkney.
Bill Pinkney.
Yes, yes.
I thought he was a bass band.
Right. Well.
Sure didn't sound like White Christmas.
Well, no, but it, you know, if you listen to it, though, it does sign to have a Bill Pinkney feeling for it. So I thought anyway, but now that you know who it is.
You know you hurt me so bad. And when I called you and begged you to stay, you pretend that you got mad. Now he's left you. Yes, he's gone. Oh, you want me to come back to you? I've got to think it over and make up my mind. But until I do, don't call me, I'll call.
Yeah, so that's Bill Pinkney, all right.
Yeah, I had a pleasure meeting him in Cleveland one year when at one of the Alan Freed coronation ball anniversary things.
Yeah.
He never told me about that one, though.
Well, it was a beach music hit was about it.
Was it? Yeah.
Yeah, but 64, and then for whatever reason, you know, you could shag to it, so somebody picked it up in Myrtle Beach, and it became big on the jukeboxes there.
Yeah, it was a nice record. I liked it.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I've got some California
requests for you.
All right, let me. And we didn't get to one of yours yet, so let me find your list. We
put, the one with Tommy Hunt and.
All right. So let me. Where'd your name go? All right, it was here. It was here before. This is how I lose them. Let's let's see. Here we are. Yeah, I haven't played the Five Echoes yet on BJ. All right. So what else?
Okay. Why won't you answer? The Maharajas.
Okay.
And then I've got Heaven in My Arms, Donna Woods and the Bel Airs.
Okay.
And here's one by the Olympics that you never hear. It's called Your Love.
Yes.
And it's on Demon,
uh-huh.
The flip side of Chicken.
Yeah, Demon, the highest in Phi.
Demon 1415, I think
yeah.
is the number.
Yeah, I love that, though, that bright pink label where it says
yeah.
right on it, the highest in Phi.
Yeah. And might as well throw in Hurry to Your Date by the Utopians.
Ooh, okay.
So you got a mixture of 50s and 60s there.
All right. Good deal. Thank you.
And I called a little bit earlier because you said nobody was calling, so
right.
I called and now
well,
everybody's calling.
And that's perfect. That's absolutely perfect. You must have been the magic charm. No, man, that first hour, it was, you know, it was terrible. I was talking to myself. But now, yeah, the show will be over and six people will be hanging. It's just the way it works.
Yeah, I knew a couple of the first two, but I think I better wait and see what else
yeah,
you're playing.
Right. I always figure you'll be waiting for a while because I know you'll knock out all the doo-wop ones. That's always for sure.
Well, yeah, you know, I know the doo-wop.
Yeah.
But I would never get that 1956 charts. I would never get that. I don't know those people.
Oh, that's funny. Well, a lot of pop standard garbage, you know, unfortunately.
Yeah.
You know, when they called it top 40, they meant a top 40 of anything. And
yeah.
a lot of it was still pop standard. Yeah. All right.
But I liked your comments on a couple of the records.
Oh, God, yeah.
I agreed.
Yeah.
Something I would have said, too.
All right. Well, thank you. We'll talk to you soon.
Well,
appreciate
thanks,
it.
Yeah.
Appreciate
yep,
it.
Great job.
Right,
thank
so
you.
Add to Stan's stash. Eventually he gets something. Eventually everyone gets something, but it eventually is the operative word in that sentence. 888-876-5593. Michael in Park City is going to take a guess on our trivia question. So, Michael, what do you think?
I'm thinking of three answers.
Okay.
The first two, I know the names of the song, name of the cars. The Edsel?
Nope. Again, this is 1980, so the Edsel would be far
yeah,
too early for that.
Yeah, I didn't relate that until
Pacer,
after
yeah,
I
Pacer,
called.
Pacer was earlier, too. What else you got?
The last one I can think of is, I don't know the name of it, but it was a station wagon with wood panels on the side of it.
Oh, that could be a lot of cars.
It was a station wagon. I can't think of the name of it, but I'm sorry.
Well, I like your guesses, though, and if you think of something else, call me back.
Well, thank you very much.
All right, thanks.
Bye-bye.
All right, so 888-876-5593. What does Renee in Fox Lake think? Welcome to WGN Radio. Renee, are you still with me? No, Renee gave up on me. Sorry about that, Renee. Call back if you like. We'd love to have you. All right, Chuck in Westmont's calling back. All right, Chuck, what do you think?
Okay, Raleigh. That is the car, is that an AMC Eagle?
Yes. Absolutely right. Yeah. The AMC Eagle that was, wagon.
That was the first car that sort of started the crossover phase between cars and what SUVs are today.
Oh, man. I think you probably blame it for a lot of things.
Actually, my father-in-law had one of those, and he had nothing but problems with it.
Well, I think that's the consensus. That's why it is considered one of the world's worst.
Right. He owned it for about a year, and he couldn't wait to get rid of it after that. He was having motor issues with it.
Yeah. Yeah, well, it was a V6, and it was not an efficient motor. It was just, everything about it was just awful. But, you know, that wouldn't surprise us from AMC entirely, of course. But,
okay.
All right, good deal. Well, hang on. We'll add to your stash. Don't go away. Yes.
All right, thanks.
All right. So, yes, that's absolutely, absolutely right. So, good deal for Chuck. And there we have it. All right, so now, what are we going to do? We're going to do 5x5. Okay. And that would be Maddie in Harwood Heights. Hello, Maddie. How are you?
Hey-o. I was going to try to guess the car, but I would have guessed wrong. And I want to do the 5 trivia questions.
Okay. So you want 5x5?
Yes. Yes, yes.
Okay. What is the name of Howard Hughes' plane?
The goose. The super goose.
It rhymes with goose. You can do it.
It's spruce goose.
Yes, absolutely right.
Spruce goose.
What product takes a licking and keeps on ticking?
Timex. I love Timex watches.
Okay. Who sang Animal Crackers in My Soup?
Soupy Sales. Was it Soupy Sales?
Shirley Temple.
Ah!
Who is M's secretary in the James Bond movies?
M's secretary in the James Bond movies is, what's his name? Moneypenny?
Absolutely, no. Miss Moneypenny. You're 100% right.
Okay.
All right, so you just have to get one. All right. So, we all know that the first diet cola with no calories at all was diet right. At least we should know that. But what was the first diet cola with one calorie?
Is it Tab?
Yes. Absolutely right. Out of five, you're a winner. Hang on. Don't go away. You're absolutely right. And like I say,
don't hold your breath on these prizes.
All right. Absolutely. That's Tab, one calorie. But yeah, diet right was the first. And that was, who was it? Now I can't even think. Just horrible, too. RC Cola came up with Diet Right. Now, we'll get to Seinfeld trivia with Jeff. And there, once again, are lines available for you, so take them. Oh, I know. I got to come up with another question. I will, right after this on WGN Radio.
Take you in a place. I'll give you any place. I'll give you a love that's more than a rose. Send me by.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Okay, so who are they? Yes, it was redone as a beach tune years later, but this was the 1967 original on J2. 888-876-5593. More right after the news right here on WGN Radio.
Fishing hand, my income tax is due. Now I lost my money in a poker game, and I think my left leg is a-going lame, and my brother asked me if I'd change my name, and that's what I think I'll do. My doctor told me not to smoke, drink nothing stronger than a Coke. I'm not even supposed to hear a dirty joke, so I laughed and strained my heart. I had every ailment known to man, from the African mumps to the dishpan hand, lost every race that I ever ran. I didn't even get a start. So you think you got troubles, the more you try, the worse you get. So you think the world don't like you, well brother, you ain't heard nothing yet. Now some people call me a pessimist, they say that I ought to make the best of this. Well maybe I am a pessimist, that's something that I wouldn't know. But one thing I do know, I'm telling you right now, I'm milking the wrong end of this old cow, and there's too many wrinkles in this boy's brow, and that stuff has got to go. So you think you got troubles, the more you try, the worse you get. So you think the world don't like you.
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. This guy actually had a big hit in 1957. Clearly this isn't it, but MGM released it in 1957, so what is it? All right, so 888-876-5593, 8888-Raleigh. And you need a new question. I am here to please. Around a handful of countries around the world have been known to do this. But 50% of inmates on death row across this country say America should be one of them. So, what do the inmates want America to do? Yeah, a handful of countries around the world done it. They say, well, America should. America doesn't. All right, what would that be? 888-876-5593. 8888-Raleigh. So there you have it. Now, Jeff is in Homewood. How's it going, Jeff?
Going okay. How are you?
I can't complain. So we're going to do our Seinfeld trivia, which has become somewhat of tradition here. What does Kramer use instead of shaving cream?
Baby oil.
Butter.
Oh, butter. That's right.
Talk to you next week.
Thank you.
Okay, thanks. So, yes, butter. I don't know. So 888-876-5593, 8888-Raleigh. So James on the south side. How's it going, James?
Fine. I was going to take a couple of guesses at that new question.
Okay. I can't wait.
Okay. I'm going to say, they're allowed to have their spouse or girlfriend come, at least they come back for like relations.
Nope. What else?
Okay, they're allowed to pick whatever meal during the day.
Nope.
Okay, they can choose
what type of execute, what type of form of execution?
No.
They can have, I guess, a one time where they, like, I guess you could say, sabbatical, where they can go to some place, at least for one day or one day, and then, but under supervision?
Nope.
Okay, well, let's get to the question. The World War II question. I was going to say that song looked like it sounded like it was the last bumper sounded like a Hank Williams Sr. song.
But it's not. However, the guy did have one big hit, and only one, but one big hit.
Yeah, and I can't think of his name. I'm sorry.
That's okay. I'll give you a very easy World War II question. Tsutomu Yamaguchi is known for what? I think he's the only person, actually, who could claim this.
Okay. Tsutomu Yamaguchi.
Yes.
I will say that he is the guy who actually ended up bombing at least U.S. mainland U.S. territory?
No. We'll just call him a super survivor. Why would that be?
Oh, wait a minute. No. Okay. This is a guy who lived, who stayed 30 years out in, after the war had ended.
Nope. He's the only one who survived the atomic blast in Hiroshima. He was on a business trip. He returned home to Nagasaki and survived the bomb 3 days later there.
Yes. I got about that he had done that.
Yeah.
He was the one who did that.
Yep.
Okay.
All right. Good, though. Yes, you'll call me back tomorrow night, and we'll talk about the funeral home disasters. Oh, my dear God.
Yeah.
Okay, thanks. Appreciate it. Yeah. I don't blame people for being just mad as all get out, but we'll talk about that tomorrow night. And you've probably been hearing it on the news, I'm sure. And if not, pay closer attention to the news, why don't you? All right, so a handful of countries around the world have been known to do this, but 50% of the inmates on death row across the country say America should be one of them. It's not. What do the inmates want America to do? All right, so 888-876-5593, 8888. Raleigh, there is your trivia question, and dearth of calls again, so I thought this was a good trivia question, but maybe not. You can have your own category if you want it. And we have a final bumper stumper coming up next, so 888-876-5593 on WGN Radio.
One day you made discover that you love her, that she's gone.
Ronnie James. So who is he? 888-876-5593. Originally from Reading, sort of a medley of anything he ever did. Did that as a kid. It's interesting. I've been trying to find him for years because the whole time I was in Pennsylvania, I figured, well, I'm close enough to Reading. Someone will know. No one did. No one ever heard of this guy, no matter how hard I tried. And then, sadly, every now and then I'd look him up, and sadly, I found him. Of course, I found him because of his obit. Yeah, he died in Las Vegas. I guess he was kind of a lounge lizard for a while, which fits. But I thought for a high school kid that that was a great little record, and no one had ever heard about him. And of course, by the time I did, it was a little late for an interview. Yeah, I'll call long distance, but that's farther than any area code I can reach. So 888-876-5593-8888-Raleigh. If you don't get it tonight, this will be our straggler. A handful of countries around the world have been known to do this. America is not one of them. 50% of the inmates on death row across this country say America should be one of them. What do they want America to do? 888-876-5593-8888-Raleigh. Like I say, if you don't get it now, well, we've got next week. It'll be the official straggler. We've got Ralph in Rockford. All right, Ralph, welcome back to WGN Radio. How are you?
Well, thank you very much. So far, I'm doing quite well because I just celebrated my birthday. So,
happy birthday. Congratulations.
Well, thank you.
So, how are you going to spend the day?
Well, I spent already. It was on 8-8. Saturday.
Okay.
So, yeah,
what did you do?
Well, I did. I went to one of my relatives here, and we went to, there is a bedding place across from Rockford, a college where you can bet on horses.
And how did you do?
Well, I didn't bet on any horse because I got the first. We didn't have a very good drinks there, but not. I don't drink very much alcohol. And the first thing the waitress does, she tips the glass and puts it all over me. The liquid.
Oh, yeah. No. No, no,
yeah.
No. Oh, jeez.
No, and then... You know, this is unbelievable. She brings a second one and does the same thing.
No. Oh, man.
Yeah, so then the manager comes and says, we're going to bring you a third drink, but you have already two, you know. So he kind of was joking. He made a joke out of it, you know.
Uh-huh.
He had a good sense of humor.
Yeah, well, you had a good sense of humor. I would think after that you almost had a cause of action there.
Well, I mean, what can you do? I mean, I'm, you know, if you ever get to know me, I'm a gentleman of old school, you know, and so I was educated not to blow up, you know.
All right.
So, you know, if you ever get this, you know, I was well educated and very strictly educated, so, you know, I spent many years in a Catholic monastery. You know?
Oh, geez, okay.
Yeah, okay.
So we're going to do charts from 1978 this week.
Yeah, August.
August. We'll do August. Yeah. August the 12th, 1978. Right.
Yeah. Okay. Fine.
Number one.
I tried my best. Yeah. Okay.
Let's see how you do. Three Times a Lady.
Oh, was the one that was, I think, the biggest hit the Commodores had.
Okay. Number two, Grease.
Grease is the word, Frankie Valli.
Yes. Number three, Last Dance.
Last Dance would be Donna Summer.
Yeah. Number four, Miss You.
Stones.
Yep. Number five, Hot Blooded.
Would be Foreigner.
Yes. Number six, Boogie Oogie Oogie.
Oh, these were two ladies that played the guitars very well. That was Taste of Honey.
All right. Next, Love Will Find a Way.
Oh, that was Pablo Cruz.
Yep. Number eight, Copacabana.
Of course, that was Barry Manilow at the Copa.
Number nine, Magnet and Steel.
Oh, that was Walter Egan.
And number 10, An Everlasting Love.
Well, I think it was done first in 69, and now I think Andy Gibb redid it.
Yeah, Andy Gibb, I'm afraid so. So, all right,
yeah,
you aced the top 10. Let's see how far you get. Hopelessly Devoted to You is number 11.
Oh, that was, of course, that was Lady Olivia Newton-John.
12 is Life's Been Good.
Oh, I think, let's see, I think that was... I think it was Joe Walsh, wasn't
yes.
it?
Yes. All right, number 13, My Angel Baby.
Tommy Bew, boy.
Yeah, Toby Bow. Yes.
Toby Bow.
Yes, from the Whatever Happened to Benny Santini album, because they made him be Benny Santini for years. All right.
Okay, all right.
I'm not going to let it bother me tonight.
That was one of the early hits for the Atlanta Rhythm Section.
Yeah, Shadow Dancing.
Oh, Shadow Dancing. That was another big, I think that was the biggest hit that Andy Gibb had.
Yes. All right, Baker Street.
Oh, that was a very song for Gary Rafferty.
All right, absolutely right. All right, so now we go to 17, King Tut.
Okay, what is it called, King Tut?
Yes, King Tut.
King Tut, okay, that was it a king in the old Arab world, or what?
King Tut.
No, I'm sorry, is it a king? I couldn't hear it.
Yeah, King Tut, K-I-N-G, next word, T-U-T.
T-O-T. Okay.
T-U-T. T-U-T. King Tut.
Okay, I'll try my best here, but I really can't remember that one because I...
Well, that's all right. Who would want to? Steve Martin. It was a comedy record.
Oh, it's a comedy record.
Yeah,
okay,
well, you did very well. Very, very well.
Well, thank you very
much. Hold on, don't go away. All right.
I think it was a late birthday gift.
Yes, yes. Well, and nothing spilled on you. So hang on. All right. So, Ralph Aistam. It wasn't Toby Bow who was Benny Santini. It was Chris Rea. Had sent records out at the same time. But I remember that that album. So, yes, not Toby Bow, Chris Rea. Now, what was Chris Rea's hit? I can't even think of it. All right. I had to play these horrible things. All right. So Maddie is in Harwood Heights. Welcome back to WGN Radio.
Hey, Raleigh, I'm going to try for the trivia question. I'm going to say medical experiment.
Ooh. You think 50% of in-row inmates think that's a good idea? Oh, my God.
Death row?
Yeah, death row.
Inmates?
No. No, no. Death row inmates, 50%, I don't think, weighed in on medical experiments. I doubt they would want it.
All right. Well.
Yeah, if you think of something else, and of course, if nobody gets it here in the next 4 minutes, it'll be next week's Stragglers. That'll give you plenty of time to think about it.
I'll do some investigating.
All right, I'm counting on it. Thanks. All right. Yeah, you can't look them up, though. See, this is the deal, and I hope everybody realizes that. It's hard to come up with questions you can't search, and invariably, you probably can if you try hard enough, and that's not the spirit of the game. Now, I've been doing trivia contests for about 50 years on the radio. God, that's a lot. And for many years, it was very easy to do because there wasn't an internet. There weren't that many sources that were easy on the tip of your fingers to search. But increasingly with the internet, everything is there. And so my challenge when I come up with the questions I throw out is to come up with things that are not searchable. But invariably, they might be. The prizes are worthless, as you know, and I do mean worthless, and it takes forever to get them. And I am so embarrassed about that. But on the list of things I have to do, I'm sorry, but it keeps falling further down. But it will get there. John and I both are committed to at some point while we're still breathing getting out some prizes. If nothing else, they're taking up a lot of room in my closet because we continue, I'll see DVDs or CDs or 8-tracks or 45s and I'll put them in the box. And then the box turns into multiple boxes, of course. So we have reason that we want to get them out eventually. But that said, you're doing it for the fun of it, so don't look them up. I'd appreciate it if you don't. Occasionally people will, and I chastise them when they do, because that's not the spirit of it. Okay, so if you want to think about it, though, I hope you will. And a handful of countries around the world have been known to do this, but America is not one of them. However, 50% of inmates on death row say that America should be one of them. America should do this. Now, what is it they want America to do? 888-876-5593-8888-R-O-L-L-Y-E. So that will be our straggler, I do think, for next week. Full show tomorrow night. In fact, full show is tomorrow night, Wednesday night, and Thursday night. But Wednesday, remember, is the big super eclipse, super duper, but also the new moon. And so that means if you write your prosperity checks Central Time, that would be about noon 30. Write it right before that. And if you don't know about the law of abundance, well, go to MarianneWinkowski.com, just like it sounds, and you can read all about the law of abundance and also see about the new moon. But the deal is, it's interesting. Many, many, many people believe in the law of abundance and why you want to write your prosperity checks right around the new moon. But some of them steadfastly say you do it right after the new moon. Some of them, like Marianne, say you do it right before the new moon. I think it doesn't matter either way. The bottom line is that what you're doing is you're demonstrating to the universe that you're ready to receive abundance. And I don't think it matters whether it's before or after. The reason for the new moon is they're a little more attentive then, supposedly. And even more so with the solar eclipse. And it's interesting because astrologers have nothing better to do, so the internet is rife with all manner of everything regarding what's happening Wednesday. The bottom line, nothing. But the aspect is relatively rare. The last time this aspect came together as it is was actually around August of 2008. Yeah, well, we know what happened in September, so I'll leave it to you whether you're worried about that. But if you think it applies to you, if you were born between about 1950 and 1954, then this eclipse will be right on your Pluto, wherever the Pluto might be in your chart. The reason I say that is because between about 50 and 54, Pluto was about 19 to 24 degrees in Leo, and this eclipse, I think, is 22 degrees in Leo, so therefore it would be close to an exact conjunction. And, of course, what house it appears in will determine how it's going to affect you, and if you believe this, all right, well, bottom line is you can read all about it. Otherwise, we will convene tomorrow night, 21 hours from now, and until then, that's a wrap. We thank Adam for keeping us on the air and John for screening your calls. Above all, I thank you for calling, and I hope to hear from you tomorrow night. I'm Raleigh James. It's WGN Radio.
Ed Long Island, plus If I Had a Slammer, and Familiarity Breeds Attempt. I'm Grant Marshall, 2020 News. Real news, real stories, real fun. The Wild Isled West, the fuzz on New York's Strong Island making a big squeal out of a thrust-to-sorry demo derby featuring dirt bikes and ATVs. Middle Island mayhem as 200 maniacs take over a couple of roads next to the Wrong Island Excessway. But why start now? A daily dose of driver's dread plays out persistently and pathologically on the Southern State Speedway and Sunflies Highway. Move along. Nothing to flee here. Wrecking Brawl. He don't want to go to rehab. A drunk on a renovation gig remodeling a Target store in Ohio was a one-man wrecking crew, cops say, first getting into it with workers at the Chipotle next door, who then followed tequila skunk cries outside and jumped him, the popo proclaim, before Target practice headed back to work to punch his project foreman in the face, Cleveland.com reports. Drunk Fistery not only got fired, coppers collared hot sauce and took him off to the tank. Repito Bandito, like a broken criminal record. Some frequent prior hit a bank in the San Francisco Bay Area, cops claim, holding a teller at knife point to score some loot. But Cash Me If You Can was a breacher of habit, the fuzz say, and came right back to the same exact Oakland branch 6 days later for a persistent repay. Two for the load got nailed by the fuzz shortly after round hog pay. Habitual offender said to be practically on a first shame basis. And that's what's happening. I'm Grant Marshall, 2020 News.